When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
I've been able to live my normal lifestyle, and I've lost 20 pounds already. It changed my life.
I wasn't expecting it to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you're in chaos and you don't know what's going on, then you start imagining what might be going on. And that imagination is partly the world, as it might be, but it's also partly the structure of your unconscious mind, which is producing the fantasies. And so, when you're truly in chaos, then the distinction between your fantasies and reality isn't clear. That's actually part of what constitutes the chaos. So, imagine this. So, you're in a relationship and the person betrays you. And you knew who they were, at least you thought you did, before that moment. But now, you're looking at them, and you don't know who they are. And you don't know what the past was, and you don't know what the present is, and you don't know what the future is going to be. All of that's been thrown up into the air in a major way. That's traumatic. So much has fallen apart that it's traumatic. So what do you start to do? You start to imagine what might be the situation. The reality is your imagination and the reality at the same time, they're not pulled apart at all. You cannot distinguish between them. So Pinocchio is in this situation that's half fantasy and half reality. In this chaotic state, and he has to go down to find the thing that he least wants to find. He's got this intuition that in facing that thing, that chaos, that life really is that chaos, that he's going to find his father and reunite with him. So you could also say that in some sense it's a decision of faith, I suppose, because you might ask yourself, well, why bother confronting chaos? If chaos is the ultimate reality, then what the hell use is there in facing it? Because it's just going to reveal itself as the ultimate reality and drown you. But the myths always say the same thing. They say, no, if you confront what's really disturbing you, if you really confront it, you do it voluntarily, you're going to find order in it eventually. Or at least that's the only way you're going to find order. Now, it's not like these stories are optimistic. And it's not as if they give you a sure guide to success. That's the other thing. It's not like they're unerringly accurate, because you can be subsumed by chaos that's so total that even if you face it, you're not going to prevail. I mean, that's why people die. That's one way of looking at it anyways. But the mythology basically says this is your best bet. If there's a process that's going to work, this is it. And then you might think, well, the better you do it, the better the chances are of success, or the more consistently you do it, the better the chances of success are. And I think that that's a perfectly reasonable way of looking at it. So anyways, Pinocchio's down at the bottom of the ocean, and every time he says, he's trying to find out where Monstro is. And they ask questions to the fish that are down there, but every time they mention Monstro's name, all the fish disappear. And it's like Voldemort, right? He's the guy whose name you cannot say. And monster is precisely that. It's the thing that frightens everyone. And so asking questions down there isn't helping very much. And so Pinocchio, what he does is he's calling for his father, and he keeps going deeper and deeper into the depths. And there's a scene where the darkness of the ocean turns into an even more profound darkness, and that's what Pinocchio disappears into. And then we see Monstro, he's in this sort of foggy representation, this huge thing that lies very much at the bottom. And there's no life or anything around him, except I think these are mackerel, but there's no life down there. He's so far down at the bottom of the ocean that there's nothing that's alive down there. And then we go inside the whale, which is of course absurd, and we see that the whale has eaten a boat at some point in the past. This is one whopping whale. And Geppetto is sitting with the kitten, of all things. He's also got that little goldfish bowl full of goldfish with him too, which is quite the feat. Anyways, he's sitting there and he knows that he's trapped in the belly of the whale too and that he can't get out. And so that's an interesting issue. It's because not only is Pinocchio lacking his father, which isn't a good thing, but the father is lacking the son. And there's some indication that the father can't get out of the whale without the son. And so it's like the possibility for order is down there in this chaotic state. But unless there's an active agent to go seek it out, it's not animated enough to get out by itself. You know, and you could say, well, there's wisdom in the libraries, but without you going in there and gathering it and embodying it, all it does is sit there in potential, in all of that implicit form. That's a good way of thinking about it. So anyways, Geppetto is pretty hopeless because he can't figure out any way of getting out of the whale, and he's also starving. He's starving in the belly of the whale. And here's a way of thinking about that. Geppetto's a good guy, but he's old. And that means his way of doing things is no longer fruitful. That's why he's starving. And it's especially not fruitful because he's missing his son. He's missing the active element that the child represents, say the playful and transformative element that the child represents. And so if you get stuck doing something the same old way, at some point it's no longer going to work, even if it was good at some point. It has to be updated. And it's updated by, let's call it the spirit of youth or the spirit of attention or the spirit of play, something like that. The willingness to break boundaries and take risks. And Geppetto is very, very skilled, but he doesn't have that. And that's symbolized by the loss of his son. That's why he was out looking for his son too. He needs him. And so they're in despair down there, trying to fish and not getting anything. And so Monster wakes up and he opens his mouth and a bunch of water starts to come in. And then you see Pinocchio with the fish. Now, you may remember, and perhaps you don't know, that one of the symbols for...
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy, you're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Christ is a fish, ichthys, right? And that's a play on the Greek representation of Christ's name. But there's more to it than that, because all of Christ's followers are fishermen. And he performs a bunch of miracles with fish. And fish are strange things because, well, you can pull them up out of the depths. That's part of it. And so there are things that can be pulled out of the depth. And you could say that, it's going to be very difficult for me to take this apart, but you could say in some sense that Christ is a meta fish. A fish is something that you can dine on, but a way of being is something that provides you with something to dine on a continual basis. And so you might say, well, is it better to have a fish or to be a fisherman? That's another way of thinking about it. And obviously it's better to be a fisherman because then you can get more fish. And so it's one thing to have something, but it's another thing completely to know how to generate good things. And so if you had any sense, you'd take the latter over the former, even though the former is more instantaneously gratifying and requires less work and responsibility. And so anyways, the whale opens his mouth and goes chasing these fish. And Pinocchio tries, he's trying to get the hell out of there, even though he wants to find the whale. When he actually sees the whale, he leaves. And that's also a very common mythological plot element. It's very frequently that what happens when the hero first sees the terrible thing, the dragon, say, the terrible thing that he's come to conquer, he like freezes and gets the hell out of there because it's far worse than he thought it was going to be. And so Pinocchio, it's like, no way, man, I'm not going near that whale. Way he swims, and he's actually at the forefront of all the fish, which is quite interesting too. So in the meantime, Monstro has opened his mouth and the fish are pouring in, and Geppetto is fishing like mad and he's catching fish like crazy. And so they have a problem. The problem is how to get out of the whale. That's the actual problem. But a nested problem inside that is how not to starve to death. And so Geppetto is pretty happy that even though he's not getting out of the whale, that he gets to have something to eat. So you could say as well that he's not exactly focused on the right thing. He's focused on the micro problem instead of the macro problem. And that makes him kind of blind. So anyways, the whale swallows up Pinocchio, and Geppetto keeps fishing. And then he snags Pinocchio. Now this is cool because, and this is another example of that meta fish idea. It's like, Geppetto's actually looking not for a fish. He's looking for a way out of the damn whale. And then he catches a bunch of fish and he's like focused on that like mad. And then he catches Pinocchio. And Pinocchio represents what would get him out of the whale, but he's so bloody obsessed with the fish that he doesn't even notice. So he catches Pinocchio and flings him into the fish basket. And so it signifies the blindness of Geppetto's orientation when he's inside the whale. And that's kind of a comment on his aged and insufficient nature. He's solving the problem very well, but it's the wrong problem. So anyways, he fires Pinocchio into the fish bin. Pinocchio says, "Father, I'm here." And Geppetto says, "Don't bother me right now, Pinocchio. I'm busy fishing." Well, then that's fine. So then he kind of wakes up. He has this little moment of insight, this little revelation that, well, he's caught Pinocchio, so who cares about the damn fish? So then he runs over to the fish box to grab Pinocchio, and instead he grabs a fish and gives it a kiss. And so that it's another way of hammering home the fact that there's this confusion that he's suffering from. He can't distinguish the local truth from the transcendent truth. And so anyways, he does figure it out. He tosses the fish aside and he grabs Pinocchio, and they're all thrilled to death to see each other, and so they're united. So Pinocchio has found his father, but they're still trapped in the belly of the whale. Now, Pinocchio, he gets covered with a blanket, he takes off his hat, and he reveals his jackass ears. And so he's found his father, but he's damaged and not in good shape. He isn't becoming what he was supposed to be. In fact, he's actually degenerated since Geppetto saw him last. And so he becomes embarrassed. He says, "That's nothing, I have a tail too." And then he spins that around kind of laughing, and he brays and gets really embarrassed. And so that's what you see here. He looks like, well, he's revealed himself as a jackass to his father. But you know, that's actually a good thing because he is a jackass. And if he was unwilling to admit his insufficiency, he wouldn't have ever gone on this pursuit. So it's this perverse willingness to note that he isn't all that he could be that's part of what drives him to find everything that his father represents. It's a humility and it's an admission of insufficiency. And you need that before you're going to learn anything, because before you learn anything, you have to admit that there are things that are important that you don't know, and that you're a fool, and maybe that you're a braying jackass. And so that's why there are injunctions in many religious writings that portray humility positively as the antidote to arrogance. That's the right way of thinking about it, is that humility means I still have something to learn. I still have something to learn. I'm insufficient. I still have something to learn.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.